All right, folks, we are 24 hours away until U.S. elections are final. Everyone who is undecided needs to watch this next broadcast. If you're on the ropes, or you haven't voted yet, or you've made this decision that you're not going to vote, you're going to want to watch this podcast today. Again, it is Monday, November 4th, on the eve of U.S. elections, and we got a lot to talk about today. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, folks, welcome to End Time Headlines. This is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And again, we welcome you tonight. It is Monday, November 4th. I said tonight, but this afternoon, excuse me. Welcome to this afternoon's broadcast. Again, we are 24 hours away until U.S. elections are official. If you haven't voted yet and you're planning on doing it, tomorrow is going to be the deadline. And today, we've got some reaction videos we're going to do, and we're going to go over some facts. We're going to lay it all out there. And then you're going to have to make the decision of what you're going to do. Because after we're going to show you a reaction video, we're going to have a couple of men discussing some stuff. What is at stake with this election? We're going to cover all of that today. Before we get started, can you do me a favor? Hit that like button. That's going to help others get their eyes on our program, on this broadcast. You can help us get it out there by just smashing that like button. And then for your benefit, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And if you've not yet subscribed to if you have not yet downloaded our free app, we want you to stop by and do that today. Again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. It's just download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, breaking news, prophecy update, everything's going to be right at your fingertips so you can be blessed to keep up with our information. All right, so this first reaction video is Charlie Kirk and Eric Stackelbeck. They had a discussion about the upcoming election. And this is something I think that we all should watch together. So we're going to pull this up. And then again, we're going to break down what exactly is at stake so you can make that decision. What your conscience is telling you what to do. And then we've got one more video I want you to watch because I want to get this out there, because if this election goes a certain direction, then I really think that we have to come to the conclusion that there is a sovereign purpose for this to go in that direction. So let's watch this together.
If they get power, we will have a never before seen crusade and jihad against our nation's children. God puts us in situations to act against evil and injustice for his greater purpose.
We could literally, as the body of Christ, swing this election, especially in swing states.
More Christians will not vote than vote this election cycle. Yeah.
It's such a sad commentary on where we are.
But we can change it if this.
We can.
If you hear this.
Yes, and that's why we're doing this.
I hope I reach out into the screen to get you guys to go vote.
Welcome to a TBN special, America Decides, Faith, Freedom, and the Future. I'm Eric Stackelbeck. I am here with Charlie Kirk. We're at the Turning Point headquarters, in Phoenix, Arizona. Folks, this may be the busiest man in North America right now.
No, Donald Trump is much busier.
Yes, just a bit more, but you've been crisscrossing the United States, Charlie, for months, trying to activate not only Americans to vote, but in particular, and this is the theme of this program, folks, mobilizing the body of Christ to vote for such a time as this. Okay, early returns. We know 2020, 40 million Christians did not vote.
That's right.
15 million were not even registered to vote.
Let that soak in. 40 million self-identified Christians in America chose to set out in 2020. 40 million. 15 million wasn't even registered to vote. So how does this How does this compare to 4 years later? Has anything changed? Has it gotten worse? Has it gotten better? Let's listen on.
What trends are you seeing this time around?
Well, first of all, early voting across the board is going quite well. We're seeing that in North Carolina and Georgia, Arizona and Nevada. But there's still a lot of work to be doing in this short period of time to try to get everyone out ahead of Tuesday. To be perfectly candid, though, Christians are largely sitting this one out. George Barna believes it will be the lowest turnout for Christians in the last 15 years.
Wow. Again, let that soak in. If he's right, that's sad. That's disturbing. And I don't know what else to say on that, guys. We, again, as Americans, we are given this privilege, given this freedom, men and women alike. There's some that are watching and listening to this program. There's some right there in the chat that has shed blood, fought for our country, sacrificed families' lives, sacrificed their own lives to fight for your privilege and your freedom as a citizen of the United States to cast your vote, and you are a Christian and you're going to set it out. Nope. Not going to do it. Now, listen.
I believe that to be true. We talk to a lot of pastors. There's a grave indifference, cynicism, and disconnect. Now, I want to be very clear. The rank and file of the body of Christ, many of whom are on fire and doing great. Yeah. But it is a complete disappointment what we've seen from some pastors. And we could talk about that. I'm sure we will throughout our discussion. And again, the data is the data, right? We'll find out at the end of the election if George Barna is right, but he is a premier researcher and pollster.
Oh yeah,
he's been right about almost every Christian trend over the last 40 years. He's written over 60 books, and this guy's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
And he says, look, I'm looking at the numbers. It's a 12% decrease from 2020. And I could tell you anecdotally, you know, here we are in Phoenix, Arizona. One church in particular, the largest church in Phoenix. And right now we have an incredibly hideous abortion amendment that is likely to pass in Arizona called Proposition 139 that would allow abortion up to the moment of birth for minors without parental consent. And it even doesn't.
So if you're listening to this and you're a follower of our ministry, a partner of our ministry, you're tuning in, Apple, Spotify, whatever the case may be, and you're from the state of Arizona, how can you sleep at night knowing that this is out there? And you can do something about it by standing up and just simply casting your vote to oppose this.
Define what a medical professional is. So you would be able to, it would make Arizona the wild west of abortions with no regulation, no restrictions.
Wow.
Even if you're pro-choice, this goes too far. The largest church in Arizona has yet to even speak out about it. Not an utterance, not a whisper. They say, we don't do politics.
Think about it. And again, you realize there is a history, and I got to be careful how I say this. There's a history of the church remaining silent in the face of atrocities. And this goes all the way back to the time of totalitarian leaders, ruthless leaders and organizations that were responsible for the slaying of millions of a certain ethnicity. And while this was happening, on the church's watch, many of them did this very thing. They turned a blind eye. They whistled, like they're whistling through graveyards. They literally would praise and worship God in the church while the train with carts filled with these people going to their deaths, they would just drown out the cries of these people by just clapping louder in the church, praising louder in the church, shouting louder in the church, ignoring the atrocities that were going on, ignoring the shedding of innocent blood that was happening. And many churches, come on, do your research, do your study. Many churches in that day actually supported the very dictator that was responsible for this. And they took up offerings for him. And we're seeing it all over again. Now, it may not be in the form of that, but it's in the same spirit of Antichrist again rising in the earth and in America.
So for the massacring of the unborn in the state they say they shepherd and they care about, they're completely indifferent. I'm not just picking on them. They're not like a small church. They're as big as it gets. Think like Willow Creek in Arizona.
If they spoke up, it would make a difference.
They could mobilize their 50 to 75,000 active congregants and their 100 to 200,000 passive congregants to defeat this thing. And so I have been very disappointed by them amongst many others. And there's some great churches here in Arizona we work with and across the country through TPUSA Faith. But if Kamala Harris wins, the church will have handed her the presidency on a platter.
What a statement. And
think
very
about
true.
And the numbers reflect it. This is not just Charlie Kirk's hyperbole.
No, absolutely 100%. And number one, it's maddening. And in a minute, you and I are going to go issue by issue, Charlie, why Christians, followers of Jesus, do need to vote. The stakes have never been higher, obviously. It's do or die for our country. But I think the big question a lot of people are wondering as they listen is why? Why would Christians, number one, with the stakes being so high, why would they stay home? And number two, why the silence, even the indifference, seemingly, by pastors?
So the first question is answered by the second question, partially. They're not voting because their pastors aren't telling them to vote. That's partially. They're not being instructed. They're not being led well. Most American pastors are not equipped in the ministry. They might be sweet people. They might have a gifting for speaking. However, the ministry is a different arena than I think many of them are cut out for. So
guys, let me know in the chat. Let us know in the chat. What church do you... not what church you attend, but does your pastor, does your shepherd speak out on these events, these topics, this election? Does he, this past Sunday, did he reference the importance of what's at stake? Is he a voice for the unborn from the pulpit? Is he a voice for this, the sanctity of marriage as we know it? Is he a voice that opposes child mutilation? Is he a voice that opposes gender confusion and the whole trans ideology that is infiltrated every sector of our lives and is impacting our children? So let me know in the comments. Type yes if your pastor is standing behind the pulpit and raising the alarm on these topics, or type in no. You don't. Please don't put your pastor's name and all that, because if you answer no, you know, we don't want to cause any. I don't want to cause any unneeded drama. Okay. Now, if End Time Headlines is your home church, you better put yes. I'm just saying, you better put yes, because we definitely are not silent in regards to this. We have been very vocal about it.
That's number one. However, the excuses we hear and that we see in the data, number one, they might have a view of the end times where the more things fall apart, the closer Jesus comes to his return. I think that's complete rubbish to believe that you should allow evil to spread even if you're expecting Christ's return.
Exactly.
Wow, that is good right there. I love what he said right there. So if you're watching, you're listening, and you have that kind of theology that you think that, well, I don't really want to vote. I'm not going to stand up for atrocities. I'm not going to stand up against evil and oppose it, because the darker it gets out there and the more lawlessness that comes, that's going to somehow trigger the second coming of Christ. That's somehow going to speed up the rapture. Well, guys, that's poor theology. No, because first of all, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that the darker it gets, that is going to initiate the second coming faster. In fact, if you really want to be technical about it, if we go to the days of Noah and Lot, yes, it was lawlessness and yes, there was evil. But guys, he says in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, building, they were planting, sowing, They were given in marriage. So life was normal. Life was going on as normal, and they knew not until the day. And same as the day of Noah, the days of Noah. So there was still evil, and there was still darkness, and there was still lawlessness, and there was still wickedness. But life as we know it was going on. Nowhere in there was there a complete total collapse of society. And then the Lord came back, or the if we're going back to the days of Noah and Lot, then the ark appeared and they came into the ark, or then the angels appeared. No, everything was normal. The only people that know, this is good right here. The only people that knew that they were on the precipice of judgment was the inner circle called the remnant. But everyone else, to the whole world, it was a snare that came upon them suddenly. This is why Jesus said in Luke 21, for us to pray and watch that it does not come as a snare upon us, because it's coming upon the whole world as a snare. But as the remnant, we should not be caught off guard by these things, because we, my brethren and sistren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake us. Are you hearing me today? So I love what Charlie Kirk says here, and I 100% agree with what he says.
That is not theological. In fact, Christ wants us to occupy till he comes.
Yes, be proactive. Go.
Yes, to invite evil into the world. The second of which are people that are completely disengaged in the sense where they don't think anything. They think that God has a sovereign plan and that what they do really doesn't matter.
Whatever happens, happens.
Which is one of the dumbest things ever. And when I ask them, I say, well, then why'd you shower this morning?
Yeah.
if your kid is drowning in a pool, do you intervene?
Right.
Very
good
true.
Point.
I mean, if your kid starts choking on a chicken bone, do you give them the Heimlich maneuver?
Yep.
What happens, happens, right? No, God puts us in situations to act against evil and injustice for
Come
his greater
on.
Purpose. So that's a lot of bad theology that is there. And then finally, there's a couple others. The third of which I would say is that people, now this is the other extreme. They're hyper-engaged, hyper-aware, but they think that they're Donald Trump is a sinner and they are not.
Yeah. Oh, this is good right here, because this one right here, what he's embarking in right here is, I believe, a huge majority of professed Christians of why they won't vote is because we have two options. Because let's just face it, you can go right in whoever you want all day long. They're not going to win the election. They never do, guys, ever. It's either going to be Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. It ain't going to be Jesus, so don't go write Jesus down on the ballot, because first of all, he's not running for office. Second of all, don't do him the injustice. He doesn't want to be president. And you're wasting everyone's time, and you, by default, are throwing a vote to Kamala Harris. Okay? So the fact that Donald Trump is the only option, they have a problem with his moral track record. And I love what Charlie Kirk says, that he is a sinner, he has made mistakes, he has faults, but they're innocent. And as I've said before, he doesn't say this, but I'll go ahead and say it. We, as the body of Christ, are not voting whoever it is, and it doesn't matter if it wasn't Trump or if it was somebody else on the ballot, we are not voting for a priest, a pope, or a pastor. I'm not casting my vote for someone to shepherd me in spiritual matters. I am voting for someone as a citizen of the United States to uphold the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. That, my friend, is who I'm voting for.
And I get to hear about how good of a person they are and how bad of a person Donald Trump is. And I totally understand. Donald Trump's lived a colorful life. I understand that. We're all sinners falling short of the glory of God. Amen. But he demonstrated as a president that he was phenomenal for our worldview and our policies and our agenda, which is all you're voting for. You're voting for a worldview. Either you vote for the worldview of Jesus or Jezebel. You have to choose which one it is.
Right.
And Jezebel's on the ballot and Jesus is not. I mean, but his worldview is. So that, again, there's a sanctimonious self-righteousness? I'm sure you've run into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to lecture. But
No. Preach on, my friend, because these are the same people who voted for George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, and John McCain.
Yeah, Mitt Romney, who is, again, was like a questionable Republican at best. Yeah. And then we had George W. Bush, who was basically pro-choice, never spoke about March for Life. So Donald Trump was the most pro-life president in American history. Gave us the repeal of Roe versus Wade, spoke of March for Life, cut Planned Parenthood funding, and yet I have to be lectured that
Israel.
He's, yeah, exactly. I mean, and peace, border, sex trafficking, all that stuff. I have to be told that he's inadequately Christian, which I think is complete balderdash. It's silly. It's silly is not even harsh enough word for it.
He's a defender of the faith. He's a defender of Judeo-Christian Western civilization.
Yes, and we're hiring him to do a dirty job.
Yes.
And so when you hire somebody to do a dirty job,
exactly. And you're not going to good luck, guys. And I don't believe in luck. I shouldn't even say that. So I'll retract that. But have fun finding someone who is squeaky clean, without fault, that is going to check all your boxes and meet your approval. I'm just saying, just have fun finding that. Okay.
Job. He's ready to go into the scum and the villainy and to fight for what matters, as Samson did for God's purposes, because no one else was willing to step
Absolutely.
Up. And then
he's
there's
got a warrior spirit.
He really does. And so the final objection, again, just why we hear, are people that this is more on the liberal tilt. They think the Democrat Party is actually a more Christian party. And again, this requires.
And that doesn't even make sense to me. That is so far beyond ridiculous that it's hard to even, how do you even have a logical conversation centered around this? If you actually think that that Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party far more represent Christianity and Christian values over the other choice, then I question what Bible you're reading.
Phenomenally bad theological teaching, but it's a growing segment of Christianity.
Social justice.
Yeah, and it again, you have this in seminaries that are teaching this and instructing this, where they believe that we should have open borders, that we should take money from rich people, that you should allow babies to be massacred in the womb because we should have compassion for the mother, that transgenderism is part of, you know, God's design. Again, this is a minority, albeit, however, a growing part of American Christianity.
And so a vocal minority.
Very vocal, and they control a lot of ink, meaning they publish a lot of op-eds, a lot of newspapers, and they control a lot of airtime. So you combine all those together, you have a sizable Christian voting bloc that's staying at home. Again, if even 10% of Christians voted in battleground states that didn't vote in 2020, Donald Trump is president. But Christians don't really care that much about the country. That's really been my lesson. God. Now, I know your audience is in an exception to that, but the fact they watch TBN makes them an exception. More Christians will not vote than vote this election cycle.
Yeah. It's such a sad commentary on where we are.
But we can change it if this.
We can.
If you hear this.
Yes. And that's why we're doing this.
I hope I reach out into the screen to get you guys to go vote.
Yes. And Charlie, you've been crisscrossing the country quite literally, activating all Americans, young people, but Christians especially. You are a follower of Jesus. So this is near and dear to your heart. And as you said, we could literally, as a body of Christ, swing this election, especially in swing states.
Swing it either way.
Absolutely. And the silence is complicity, by the way, and not voting.
Without a doubt.
And staying on the couch. Okay, let's go issue by issue. You are a busy man, but anyone thinking of staying home, sitting it out, let's go issue by issue, the issues that are relevant for Christians. Number one, let's start with the border. You mentioned the border. The Bible talks about boundaries and borders. Why is it a biblical view to support strong borders and to oppose mass illegal immigration? And why does that matter to Christians?
Yeah, so the idea of a nation is a biblical, godly idea. So we have this in Genesis 11 when Nimrod wanted to create a one-world government, a oneness of humanity. Right. And God hated it, actually. God spread it into different nations and people, and we got diversity out of that moment. Yeah. Because when you have the one-world government, remember what Nimrod said? He said, we are going to make a city upon our name, in our name. And so God decentralized power by definition, and there is no better way to decentralize power on the planet than having hundreds of different countries and different cultures and backgrounds and people. And
now think about that. So what party is more pushing for a globalization? What party is pushing more for a global one world order? You have to ask yourself that. And which party is opposing that? Which party has been ruthlessly attacked for opposing that agenda?
Languages. So therefore, you then can logically get to the idea of borders and boundaries, which again is a biblical idea. I think Donald Trump's favorite book of the Bible is Nehemiah, because it's all about building a wall. And no, literally, there's an entire book of the Bible dedicated to building the walls of Jerusalem, right? And to building barriers. There are scriptural evidence about how we should love the sojourner and love the immigrant, but those are largely instructions for individual to individual, not necessarily policy for a government. But you also must equally weigh the warning in the later parts of Deuteronomy, where Moses is giving his farewell address, and he warns the people of Israel before they enter the land of milk and honey, hey, be careful of foreigners in the land, because they will soon be your masters if you have too many of them, if they multiply. It's a very interesting teaching.
Yes, it is.
Right? And that cautionary tale is not usually talked about in churches. Usually it's all about open borders and all this.
Yeah. Here's a pop quiz for you guys in the chat and everyone listening. Do you know why he warned of this? Because he warned of this because these foreigners were coming in and they were bringing their false gods with them. You know, America is called a melting pot because not only are, and again, we're not against diversity and diversities of ethnicities. And again, if people come here legally and do what's right, that's great. But just to have open borders, no boundaries, and a free for all. Again, it's not just a matter of people pouring into the country and sucking up all the resources, the resources that have been given to us as American citizens and are supposed to be for our veterans and for our senior citizens and for our poor people and for our widows and for all the people that need it, but it's being distributed to them instead, you know, and the same government that's neglected our people in the midst of major disasters and used the funds that could have been used to help them. Instead, it was distributed to these people flooding in. It's not just the people that are flooding into our country, but you got people bringing in their God. When you got, let's use one group, for example, when you're bringing in Haitians, what do you think the probability is that these individuals are serving the Lord Jesus Christ as their God versus serving the occult, witchcraft, come on, or many other gods? And so you're bringing this in. And this is why, guys, I believe that when you go around to these major cities, as a spirit-filled believer, you can feel the heaviness and oppression in these atmospheres because of all of these demonic spirits that are invading. Now, don't you twist my words. I'm not calling these people demonic spirits, but I'm saying that many of them are bringing their God, little g, with them, which is invoking demonic spirits, friend. If you are, again, worshiping the god of Baal, the god of Moloch, the god of Ashtaroth, the god, all these other false gods that are not Jesus Christ, you are literally communing with demonic powers. So that's an aspect of that to think about.
Not compassion.
Not the equally caution that Moses gave to the chosen people before going into Israel. And finally, let's just look at what is the open border causing? Less about the idea of borders, because that it's so obvious the border wants borders and wants boundaries. What is the open border causing? It's causing the largest child sex trafficking ring in American history. And so for pastors that are remaining silent right now, I know your type. You're the type that remains silent during slavery during America. You're the type that remains silent during the Holocaust. And that might sound like an extreme example, but allow me to prove it, which is we have more slaves in America today than we did during the 1800s. There's more slaves today than any other time in American history.
As a result of trafficking.
No, and by the way, it's actually even at times a harsher form of slavery than even parts of Antebellum South. Now, both are evil, obviously. Yeah, sure. But some of these girls are turning into rape prostitution slaves. Excuse the graphic nature of my language.
In America in 2024.
Hundreds of thousands.
Oh, yeah.
And pastors are completely indifferent.
Yeah.
Think
pastors just kind of shrug their shoulders. They say, I don't do politics. Again, I know your type. You're the type that allows evil to occur while you build your kind of Christian empire.
Yeah.
And again, there's 320,000 missing kids. And that's not my number. That's from the Department of Homeland Security, from Biden's Department of Homeland Security. So it's probably even more. We know what the Bible says about, you know, how we treat children.
Of course. And a lot of that actually comes, as you said, Charlie, from the border madness, from the open border. Well, this is stemming from the border.
It's a direct correlation. And I can go through many reasons as to why.
Yeah.
One of them is we got rid of DNA testing. Joe Biden did. So if I am a pimp, a cartel member, 35 years old, and I cross the border with a 12-year-old girl, and I declare that I'm the father, we used to do a swab of DNA testing. So take your saliva. It takes 90 seconds. 90 seconds. We could do positive or negative match of whether or not there's a DNA correlation. Now we got rid of that. So all you have to do is declare that you're the father and you have three girls with you. Oh, yeah, these are my three daughters. And by the way, all these girls are looking down.
Yeah.
They've been raped three times on average on the way to the border. Right? They're trembling and shaking. And then they go continue as their
with
life
their
is.
Their pimp, with their trafficker.
As a sex slave in Houston or Denver, Dallas, Atlanta, and then they end up a life in sex slavery for the rest of their life. And again,
sad.
The church is actually not just indifferent, largely supportive of that. Many American churches saying, we need more people like this, keep the borders open. And so...
Unbelievable.
God finds that to be the most objectionable thing.
It's an abomination.
It's an abomination to the Lord. That's
no
right.
Doubt.
To use this direct Old Testament phrase.
And I want to ask you more about why the Biden-Harris administration would allow that. But folks, real quick, if you are just joining us, we are with the one and only Charlie Kirk, founder and CEO of Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. We are at Turning Point headquarters here in Phoenix, Arizona. And we've come here just a few days before the most consequential election in our lifetimes because we're trying to mobilize Christians to vote. Because as Charlie said, Christians can literally swing this election either way, and especially in swing states.
Yes.
And we're running down the issues, Charlie, real quick. You mentioned children and God's view, the biblical view of children, the gender mutilation.
Oh, I mean, this alone should get Christians out to vote.
That's it.
I mean,
absolutely. Can you expand on that a bit, how evil it is?
Oh, I said this jokingly. I said, as a Christian, if you're not sure which side to vote for, become a single issue voter against the madness on God's design.
Come on.
Just that alone. I mean, you could ignore all the other noise. Donald Trump, to his great credit, has had phenomenal moral clarity against the transgender craze in our children.
No doubt.
He wants to end the gender mutilation of our kids. He does not believe that men should be in female sports. He thinks it's an abomination, is the word, to allow men in female locker rooms. And again, when God created the heavens and the earth, the next thing he did is he created distinctions.
Now think, let me pause this for a second. Think about that. If you are a parent or a grandparent, that alone, like he said, that should be a major issue for you.
He created order and distinctions. Our God is a God of order, and you only have order if you have distinctions.
Yes.
Distinctions between good and evil, distinctions between holy and profane, distinctions between man and nature, distinctions between man and woman. God made us different and distinct and unique and in need of one another. And that, of course, is culminated in holy matrimony.
And he doesn't make mistakes. If he made you a man, he meant for you to be male.
That's exactly right. And so... the idea behind the transgender craze at its core is a spiritual, not demonic idea that you are not created, but you're an accident. And therefore, you could take dominion over your body in any way you want because you're your own creator, not
wow.
the creator above.
Think about it.
And so then it goes even more sinister than that, that if they can't abort the kid in the womb, which I'm sure we'll talk about abortion, then they're going to try to chop off the parts of the kid by the time they're in puberty. It's the cult of death continuation agenda. Of course it is. And it's a demonic, unclean spirit that continues from Planned Parenthood all the way through. By the way, Planned Parenthood is now getting into the transgender stuff because there's a lot of money in it. And so... yeah, there are tens of thousands of kids a year that undergo gender-affirming care that we know of. We don't know the exact numbers. And it's a mixture of chemical castration drugs, of Lupron, of hormonal therapy, of testosterone replacement therapy, of estrogen treatment. And these kids are...
these are 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds.
Yeah, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. Again, the church is completely silent on this largely. And the church just doesn't care. Again, when I say the church, I don't mean Jack Hibbs. I don't mean Jensen Franklin. Right.
Yeah.
Please grant me grace.
We know exactly.
On, okay.
No. Yeah, we know
and there's always a remnant out there, guys, that are speaking out against
exactly
it.
Who you mean.
Because there's some rock stars in
there's
this country.
There's some lions, for sure.
Yeah, there are. But I'm talking about the 70%. I think we can agree on that number. Okay,
no doubt.
That 70% that just kind of are indifferent to this.
It's our kids.
It's our kids. It's our country. And it's the most precious blessing that we have. Children are a blessing from the Lord. It says explicitly in the scriptures. And our blessings to the Lord right now are being captured, groomed, and mutilated by this trans agenda. So, so Donald Trump would end this on day one. Remember, Joe Biden turned Easter into the Transgender Day of Awareness. That's a fact.
Yes.
Think about that. Now you say, well, Easter's a pagan holiday. But you got to understand, we understand that. You know, most Christians don't understand this, but those of us who go a little bit deeper, we understand that Easter in itself, as far as the sexual fertility aspect of this, the Esther aspect of this, we're talking about the bunny and the eggs. Yes, that aspect of that is a commercialized paganism. But again, you got to understand, as Christians as a whole around the world, they dedicate Easter to the, when you talk about Easter, if I was to pull in guys, Christians from all over the world, and just flat out ask them, what do you think of in the, as far as the body of Christ goes, what do you think of in as Christianity, what does it represent when you talk about Easter? I guarantee you the great majority of them are going to say the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for the Biden administration to take that day, wherein which most people dedicate that day to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, call it whatever you want, okay? So I don't want to get into all of the ins and outs of that, because we can stem a whole dispute on this. Same thing with Christmas. Most of us know that Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th, but people will argue and dispute and go back and forth and this and that and this. But again, we understand that the Christians as a whole understand that Christmas represents the birth of our Messiah, of our Savior. Okay, do y'all understand that? So for the Biden administration to single-handedly pinpoint that day and turn it into Transgender Awareness Day is literally blasphemous, and it's a slap in God's face and a slap in Christianity's face. Again, but some of you will vote for this, and you'll stand behind this administration. It's mind-blowing, guys, mind-blowing.
Proudly so.
Proudly. They did the whole thing. They brought the trans flags, the whole thing.
On Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday. So if there's no other reason to vote for Trump, that's probably a good reason that the day that our Lord rose from the dead that we remember, that the single day that we just say thank you, Jesus, for, I mean, the ultimate promise, that your government turned that into the Transgender Day of Awareness. Probably a good reason to vote for Trump.
Anyway, it was not by accident.
No, it was by design. And this is the thing, is they say, oh, well, it just happened to go on that day. No. They made an intentional decision to co-celebrate Easter and transgender. So in the morning, they sent out a press release saying, for those that celebrate Easter, in the afternoon, they said, happy Transgender Day of Visibility or Awareness or whatever. Not to mention, they brought trans strippers to the White House, not an exaggeration, where they completely exposed themselves.
Yes. Again, people, captured on video.
People might think I'm using hyperbole when I say these things. This is all factual. It's all
documented.
And so, yeah, I can go deeper in the trans thing if you want. God created male and female. The Democrat Party does not believe that. And if they get power, we will have a never before seen crusade and jihad against our nation's children.
Yeah, no doubt. And, and folks, if you don't vote, you can't really complain about this when things turn out like this. You mentioned abortion at the top, Charlie.
Good point.
I want to ask you a question about it real quick, the abortion on demand industry of the Democrats, but I do want to circle back to America reasserting itself as a leader of the free world, why that's so important. But real quick about abortion, the Trump-Harris debate, she essentially denied that Democrats support abortion on demand up until the ninth month. What's the truth about that issue?
Well, first of all, there are seven states, I can name off the top of my head, that allow abortion up until birth. It's New Mexico, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Minnesota, New Jersey, and then, Washington, D.C., which is not a state, but, for argument's purposes, is one. So they allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. And we know this to be the case because they advertise it. You can read the law. And in Minnesota, they actually had to pass a law, Tim Walz's home state, where they do not have to provide resuscitative life-saving care to babies that survive abortions.
Outside of the womb.
Yes. So that's correct. They allow
sick.
Well, they allow what is called comfort care in Minnesota. And this was most horrifically captured by former Virginia governor, Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia, who was, I think, a gynecologist and was asked a question. And he famously said, well, in a situation like that, a baby will be delivered comforted, and then a decision will be made what to do. So look, the Democrat Party, they're fully supportive of fully developed born babies being born comforted, and then, you know, a syringe goes into them and just completely murdered, which again is of course what they believe in, because they're the party, they're a cult of death. And so again, just to go further, if you want more distinctions, I was at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, and I saw a truck, I saw it by myself, a truck outside of the DNC, sponsored by the DNC, a mobile abortion truck.
Yep.
Where I saw women with human beings inside of them walk into that truck to go get those babies massacred. Everybody listening, how could I?
And to add to that, you know, and there is in certain states, Virginia being one of them, where the Satanic Temple has set up an abortion clinic for people to come and carry out abortions through not the medical procedures, howbeit, but through the distribution of these pills and leading people to terminate their pregnancy. Now, think about that. The Satanic Temple is on the same side in partnership with the Democratic Party in regards to the, again, the like Charlie Kirk says, this cult of death.
How can I make the differences more dramatic? And I hear people, oh, the parties are the same. I just, I'm losing sympathy for that line of thinking. Let me just be clear. I am more pro-life than Donald Trump is. However, Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in history. And I want people to separate rhetoric.
That's a good point right there. Because the facts are, let me tell you this. This is the facts. The Democratic Party, howbeit Kamala Harris, who's on the ticket, promises to advance abortion through federal funding, will give federal funds to Planned Parenthood, which again is the nation's, largest abortion provider, and opposes any restriction on chemical abortions. Okay, but on the Republican side, howbeit Donald Trump on the ticket, believes in the 14th Amendment, guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that the states, the individual states, are therefore free to pass laws to protect life. So as Charlie Kirk said here, he is the best option that we have, ladies and gentlemen.
Rhetoric from policy. His policies have been phenomenal on this.
Look at the Supreme Court.
Well, and yes, that's right. And just understand, we now have 10 states that have outlawed surgical abortion. They still allow chemical abortion, which is an abortion pill. That's a separate fight for another time. But they've outlawed surgical abortion. Oklahoma and Texas and South Dakota. Kamala Harris would reverse all of them and institutionalize Roe versus Wade in every single state, reversing the greatest pro-life victory in American history. Donald Trump delivered that for you. And the church is saying, nah, we're not even going to thank you or acknowledge it.
His tweets are mean.
Unbelievable.
The ingratitude from the church towards the guy who gave us a greater opportunity to save babies, the kind of self-righteousness,
that tells me, guys, that these people are believing the lies of the mainstream media. They're sitting around watching CNN and MSNBC and NBC and ABC and CBS and all of these mainstream liberal media outlets, and all of the propaganda that they're funneling out, where they twist everything that Trump says. I'm telling you, I've seen the headlines, and they've been contorted. And this man, if he really wanted to, guys, he literally could sue all these. There is actual lawsuits already in motion for defamation, and which he has every right to, because they have lied and contorted and twisted things that he said, because they're so bent on destroying this man's life because of his stance, think about it, against abortion and against trans ideology and against child mutilation and against these things that are destroying our nation.
Ask the question, I say, okay, we all struggle with sins. Donald Trump's are actually more public than private, actually, right? Which I think is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what you struggle with is not always fully on display. I actually trust the people who have their faults fully on display more than not. I just think that's an interesting fact of life. And so people that do stuff in the darks, in the shadow that I don't like, I can say this as someone who's a friend of Trump and I love him to death. He's a great person, and no secret Trump, okay?
Yeah.
It's just Trump. And so I will say this, and we can go 5 more minutes, is that The agenda that we are seeing with the Democrat Party when it comes to abortion is that human life is inconsequential. They're indifferent towards it. And we're going to see the greatest slaughter of unborn lives if Donald Trump doesn't win.
Yeah, folks, this is America Decides, faith, freedom, and the future, your future. And speaking of which, we mentioned things Donald Trump has done. Look, Roe v. Wade overturned as a result of his Supreme Court justice picks. Yes. We've talked about it for 50 years, and it finally happened under his leadership. Another thing that happened, Charlie, during his first term was the embassy was finally moved, the U.S. embassy, to Jerusalem. Talk about
the
importance.
I was there, actually, at the ceremony.
Yeah, I was, too. Yeah. I saw the ceremony. We're the two tallest guys there, I think.
That's funny.
But talk about the importance. Look, the U.S. has essentially abdicated its position as leader of the free world over the past 4 years. Talk about the importance of that, Charlie. It's a dangerous world. I mean, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, kind of a gathering storm in the modern day. How important is it for there to be strong leadership at the helm in the White House and sending a message of peace through strength to our adversaries?
I mean, it's incredibly important. And, I mean, Kamala Harris will get us to World War III, and we'll do it quickly. We must be peacemakers through strength. And Donald Trump used diplomacy to prevent the slaughter of people unnecessarily while always protecting American interests abroad. He kept Russia in check from invading Ukraine. It's a fact. He always stood by Israel and brought the Abraham Accords against blessed are the peacemakers. While also, he wouldn't just bend a knee to China and holding them accountable. This is a growing storm. We're still the strongest country. Donald Trump would capably be able to run the United States towards peace, not war. Kamala Harris, right, I'm telling you, one of the scariest things, I'm afraid for those of you that have sons or daughters. Again, this is what I can't understand about Christians that have kids. Your kids might get drafted into a war soon, and you can't fill out a mail-in ballot.
I have two teenagers.
And by the way, girls are now open for the draft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Democrats are opening the draft to girls as well to go fight another no-win war across the world. Again, we should not cower to our enemies. At the same time, we should not belligerently try to just say war is the immediate option like people like Liz Cheney want to or Adam Kinzinger. And so we must stand with Israel against its enemies. Donald Trump has. We must go in the pursuit of peace. And again, the track record speaks for itself. Yeah. Under Donald Trump, we had peace and prosperity.
All right, guys. So I know that's a lot to process. Now I've got one more. We're going to do one more final reaction video. Now this one is going to be very controversial. I'm already expecting that this is going to blow up the comments just because I know how people are. And I would hope that you would be mature about this because this is not about an individual. So don't focus on the individual. But I want you to hear what is said because regardless of whether you agree with this individual, do you believe this individual's legit or not, if what this individual prophesied about Donald Trump, if it comes to pass, then it explains a lot. It explains why God has supernaturally intervened multiple times to protect Donald Trump. It absolutely will explain why God has intervened and promoted Donald Trump one more time to bring about a reprieve to our nation of America. So let me pull up the clip. This is not going to be very long. This is from Charisma Media. We're going to do, again, a reaction to this. Let's listen in. And the two gentlemen here speaking are going to talk about the context of this. And again, I'm asking that you refrain in the comment section, the chat, and so on and so forth, and just listen, especially when it gets to the point where Jonathan Cahn, who is going to be the one who prophesies this word over Donald Trump. All right, so here we go.
Malachi O'Brien, it's great to have you here on Charisma News. You yesterday had the privilege of being at an event with Christian faith leaders and the president of the United States, or former president, hopefully future president, Donald J. Trump. And there was a moment there that the Holy Spirit told you to record what was happening on stage. Can you tell us what happened before we play this film?
Absolutely. Well, there were 3,000 faith leaders from all across the country that converged together in Atlanta, Georgia for the inaugural National Faith Advisory Board Faith Summit.
So this was in my neck of the woods, 45 minutes from me. That's very interesting.
And I just heard the announcer announce Rabbi Jonathan Kahn to come speak. And so immediately I was standing near the back, actually just near the green room entrance where we was just getting speakers ready and things of that nature. And I immediately turned my phone on, turned the video recorder on and began recording. Because I just knew something said, something's about to be said that needs to be heard and watched by everybody. So I turned it on and turned it towards the front, and I'm glad I did. A powerful video.
Yeah. So let's watch this and then we'll comment.
Mr. President, I speak of the mystery of your life.
Okay. So again, Jonathan Kahn on the stage, you can see him up there at the very front, behind the pulpit or the podium, whatever. And he's Donald Trump is out in the crowd out in here, and he begins to prophesy over Trump. Let's watch it.
Let's watch this and then we'll comment.
Mr. President, I speak of the mystery of your life. You were born on June 14th, 1946. From ages past, it was appointed that on that day, a scripture would be recited throughout the world. The scripture that was appointed for the day of your birth spoke of the bringing of God's vessel, a trumpet, into the world. President Trump, you were born into the world to be a trumpet of God, a vessel of the Lord in the hands of God. God called you to walk according to the template. He called you according to the template of Jehu, the warrior king. He called Jehu to make his nation great again. Jehu came to the capital city with an agenda to drain the swamp. Jehu forged an alliance with the religious conservatives of the land, so it was your destiny to do the same. To come to power, Jehu had to prevail against the nation's former first lady. So to come to power, you had to prevail against the nation's former first lady. Jehu overturned the cult of Baal by which children were sacrificed. So God chose you to overturn America's cult of Baal, Roe versus Wade, by which millions of babies were sacrificed. And you set it in motion on a day that was appointed from ancient times to cause a nation to turn away from its sin. There are so many mysteries to your life. But before you were born, God ordained that you would walk into his destiny. And that if he should now bring you to the height of power, it will be for his glory. It will be the last act and maybe America's last chance of redemption. But for that to happen, you must seek him with all your heart. Follow him with all your might. Jehu was born to make his nation great again by turning it back to God. So were you. America can only be great again if America turns back to God. You are a trumpet of God, and the trumpet can only fulfill its purpose if it's filled with the breath of the one who holds it up and blows through it. God is the one who lifted you up, and he wills that you be filled with the breath of his spirit. God is calling you to go all out for God, for him. And if you do, then what follows will be the greatest and most glorious part. Then you will do what no president has ever done. You will be the vessel God used to bring America back, to touch history and to change the world. For the Lord has spoken. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Now arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory.
All right, guys, that is a lot to take in. Now, again, I know that I'm going to get all kinds of firestorm from this because all the anti-Jonathan Kahn people and the people that don't like Charisma Magazine, and he's part of this group and he's part of the NAR and he's in this and that. But you're missing the whole point because that's not what this was about. This whole part was, if this is a good way, the reason why I wanted to bring this up and put this out on Monday, November 4th, the day before the election, is if this is truly a word from God, and this was a word from the Lord himself through Jonathan Kahn to give to Donald Trump, who was there receiving this word, and he wins the election, then this is heavy, guys. This makes this very profound, because it would settle the argument that And the question of, is it sovereign for God to put this man back into the position of authority and leadership of America, and that, and whether or not God has a purpose for Donald Trump. But if he loses the election, then you can do what you want with it. So again, I think this is I thought it was profound, and I wanted to share it with you. Again, we are 24 hours away. This is a lot. I know this is a lot to process. We've got a lot, and I wanted to put this out on the 2 p.m. hour, because tonight at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to get together as a corporate body of believers, and we are going to pray like we do every Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on our YouTube channel. We're going to pray as a corporate gathering of believers, and we're going to pray into a lot of this stuff. We're going to pray into the election. We're going to pray for Donald Trump. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that God's sovereign will be done. And we're going to, and we'll get into the mechanics of that when we get into the prayer tonight. But if you've not subscribed to our YouTube channel and you're listening outside of YouTube on any other social media platform or whatever the case may be, you need to come over here to YouTube and subscribe so you can join us in these prayers. Again, we'd appreciate it. And let me know your comments. Again, let us know in the chat what you think about all this. It's going to be very interesting, guys. Buckle up. We've got a lot to cover. This week's going to be very interesting. And again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There on your screen, what you're looking at is our free app. Download it today, available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. Every headline, every podcast, everything's going to be right there. And guys, if you have not prayed about becoming a monthly partner, we want to encourage you to stop by today. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the main website. If you're watching by YouTube, right there at the top, it's pinned where it says support in bold letters. You can click on that link. You can support us that way, or you can go and give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for this afternoon, and just in a few hours, six more hours, we'll be right back here. And come into the prayer session and get ready to pray and get ready to intercede, because the destiny of America is literally hanging in the balance, and we need to bombard heaven with our prayers and intercession. So God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.